In a diversion today from the book of Ephesians to take a couple of weeks in the focus on Christmas. We read for our scripture reading today Psalm 98. I'm going to read it to you again. You can actually stand and we're going to read Psalm 98. This is our passage for the scripture this morning for good reason, and we will discover that as we go. Psalm 98. That's on the back of your bulletin. Let's read it once more together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous songs and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Lord, help us today to come under your word and to see, Lord, the absolute relevance and the purpose of this psalm as it was in days of old, and how it speaks to us this very day and this Christmas Sunday. This week before Christmas, help us to see how you have used this psalm, Lord, to affect even our Christmases year by year. In the name of Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The book of Psalms are all about praise and joy and hope. And in all the book of Psalms, the 150 Psalms, they're songs. It's the hymn book for Israel. That's what they all of these Psalms were to music, and they would sing them in the temple. Of all the Psalms, this Psalm 98 is regarded as one that is as exuberant and as lively and as bold. It's 100% praise. It's pure joy, and it's anticipatory at the same time. It's one that is as pure worship as there is in the whole book of Psalms. Which of all the Psalms is the most lively and pure and joy? Well, Psalm 98 is probably right up there in the top three. That's what all the theologians and commentators say when they study it. It's deliberately bold. Now, the reason you may be asking, why are we looking at this before Christmas? It's got nothing to do with Christmas at all. And I agree, it really doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. However, verses 4 through 9 of the text, which you'll look at now, which starts off saying, make a joyful noise to the Lord, and repeats that thought all the way through, they form the basis for what is one of the most well-known hymns in the world. Joy to the world. Isaac Watts was stirred by this psalm to sit down and write the words to the most probably popular hymn, especially Christmas song in North America, in the Western world, Joy to the World. What we're going to do first, though, is I want to look at the psalm first and then consider the song, because I want to get the word ahead of the song. The word is more important than the song. But you're going to find today that they blend. We're going to end our service today singing Joy to the World. And the hope is that when we get to sing Joy to the World, we're going to sing it as if you've never sung it before. And that we're going to sing Joy to the World in the spirit with which Isaac Watts wrote it. And he wrote it out of this text that we just read. So let's let the text speak to us first, and then have a look at the song that we know. See, you all know the song, Joy to the World, but very few of us would have any idea what Psalm 98 ever talked about until now when we've looked at it. So the intent of this study is to, for this verse and then the song we're going to look at, is to expand our view of the Christmas story. You're very aware that at Christmas time there are countless millions who just shrink the story into the Christmas story alone, and they're not willing to expand it. We're not going to be that way. We're going to expand as our songs this morning. We didn't just only sing Christmas carols. We sang gospel songs. We sang the whole panoply of scripture, right? We went from the beginning to the end. And in the middle was this, the birth of the Christ child. But we expand it. That's what we want to do. So we can see Christ, not just in the Christmas story, but right here in Psalm 98. So the psalm, briefly, is divided into three parts, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist, he's calling for a new song. So we need to sing a new song. Why? Because God has done marvelous things. Then in verses 4 through 6, the psalmist tells us how the song should be sung. How then should we sing this new song? And then verses 7 through 9, you'll see it's an invitation for all creation to join in and sing this song together. And remember, it was with these verses 4 through 9 that Isaac Watts had in mind when he sat down to write one of his 700 hymns that he wrote in his lifetime. So let's just look at the psalm first. You're probably going to go home today, well, you might go home today with Joy to the World on your mind more, because I'm going to refer to it a lot. And that's okay. But you will at least today have the scripture upon which that song which you've sung all your life in your mind as well. So you'll never hopefully sing it the same. You'll sing it because of where it came from and what it's really trying to say. It's going to hopefully broaden your appreciation and understanding of it. So, a new song is called for. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, the psalmist says, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. A few thoughts about that. Why should we sing a new psalm? Because the Lord has done marvelous things. Psalmist doesn't tell us what things he's talking about, but it was plural things. So it's not just necessarily one thing that God has done. God does, everything he does is marvelous. We are not given the reason. We could surmise that he could be talking about the Exodus with Moses, or the return from exile of the Israelites, or just a specific event from which God has delivered them in a warfare or skirmish or some such thing. The main thing is this: God has acted and gained the victory, the deliverance for his people. And because of this, a new song is called for. In fact, Moses in Exodus 15:6, where Moses, the song of Moses after the Exodus across the Red Sea, Exodus 15:6, the song of Moses, your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. It's a semblance of what the psalmist says. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Verse 2, the Gentiles have also looked upon these marvelous things. Even though they were done primarily for the Israelites, the people of God, the rest of the nations have looked and seen what God has done. They are witnesses to the marvelous things that God has done. They have not been hidden from their sight. They weren't done in the corner. God has supernaturally intervened in the life of his people. And it is a revelation to Israel and the rest of the world of his what? Of his righteousness. And also in verse 3, it's a revelation of his steadfast love and his faithfulness wrought on behalf of Israel. But all, it says verse 3, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. All have seen, and all will have it extended to them in the coming Messiah. This is undeniable and very impressive. God's marvelous works have been seen to all the world. Well, that's verses 1 through 3. The second section, 4 through 6 and 7 through 9, this is where Isaac Watts began to meditate upon this passage to make his song Joy to the World. So in light of the marvelous things that God has done, a new song is called for. Okay. And do you like singing new songs? Isn't it great when you learn a new song? And I like that song. And then you get used to it. And what a new song is called for. How, though, should we sing? Make a what? Joyful noise to the Lord. Break forth or burst forth into joyous or jubilant song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, but the instrument and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. We are to sing a joyful song with noise, loudly, exuberantly, with all you've got. The last book in the psalmist says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Just bring it. Okay? God is calling us to make a joyful, loud noise to him. And all the earth is to be engaged. And the sense of the psalmist, it includes a war cry. There's the sense of, this is a war-type cry of victory and triumph. When the side would win the war, there'd be a joyful cry go up, the battle cry of victory. That type of joy, that type of song, that's how we're to sing it, with some energy and passion, not acting, but from the heart that has been stirred by the marvelous things that God has done. We are to use all the instruments. And these were the common instruments of the day. Whatever the instruments are, drums, bring them on. Cymbals, bring it. Harp, trumpet, horn, saxophone, double bass, cello, violin, bring the instruments. Orchestrate. Make a joyful, symphonic, harmonious noise to the Lord and sing along with it. Isn't that wonderful when you get involved with the instruments and then it becomes one? That's the type of song we're to sing. A new song. Not an old one. Don't be bored when we sing to the Lord. Let's confess, we've all been bored, haven't we, in church? Singing sometimes, right? Shouldn't be that way. It's a heart thing. We need to bring everything. We make the song to the Lord before the King. To the Lord before him. The King. Our Lord. The King of kings. The victor. We make a song to him. A victorious King. We sing Christmas, 'twas the birthday of the King. It's true. He was already recognized as the King in the manger. But the fullness of his reign and kingdom is here anticipated. And the next section, the last section, broadens the expression. The last section, an invitation for everyone to join in. Look what it says, verse 7. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. So the whole creation is invited, called to rejoice. Why? Because God is coming to judge the world in righteousness and as peoples with equity. That's kind of strange. We ought to rejoice in this way because the king is coming to judge the world with righteousness and equity. The psalmist is not looking towards the birth of Christ, but to anticipating the, what we now know as the second coming of Christ. The psalmist was looking to the advent of Messiah to set up, to come and judge the world. They didn't understand the Bethlehem story. But so they're looking to a magnificent arrival of the King, the Lord. So it's an anticipatory song. They're rejoicing in what God has already done, marvelous things. But they're also looking ahead to the most marvelous thing, when the king comes to judge the world with righteousness and his people with equity. So they, the psalmist, was looking forward. We look back at this psalm and we look back all the way to the first century, but to the 1,000 years before Christ. But we come back and we see the cradle, we see the cross, we see the empty tomb, we see the ascension, we see Pentecost, we see the church age, and here we are looking back, and that we look back, but we also look there and we see what the psalmist saw, right? Which is the ultimate consummation of things, where God comes as judge, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the king of kings returning. It's a fascinating thing. So, all that brief introduction for Psalm to say this, that there was a man, Isaac Watts, who reflected on that particular psalm. He was known as the father of hymnody. He was the guy, in fact, in your hymnal, I checked in the index, there are 15 hymns ascribed to Isaac Watts. But let me read you the words of the song. You know these words, but here they are. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Those are the lyrics that Isaac Watts came up with after studying Psalm 98, 4 through 9. He was born 1674 until 1748. He was a pastor, a nonconformist pastor is his description. Wrote 60 books, theological and philosophical. As I said, 700 hymns. He's regarded as probably the greatest hymnist. He wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross, O God, our help in ages past, at the cross, alas, and did my Savior bleed," and many, many, many others. This song, "Joy to the World," was first published in 1719, and it was in Watts' collection where he studied the Psalms, and he wrote songs based on the Psalms. And the title of his collection was called "The Psalms of David, Imitated in the Language of the New Testament and Applied to the Christian State and Worship." So almost all the hymns from that collection have just slipped into obscurity, except for one half of one song. This one. This is the one that we have left. Psalm 98, verse 4 through 9, "Joy to the World." Watts composed, he had the one song to verse 1 through 3, which was, "We Gotta Sing a New Song," We don't know what that song, that hymn was. But that verses 1 through 3 was what he took into verse 4 through 9. So he wrote two songs for this psalm. But we just get the second half. We are left with this. Watts, commenting on his paraphrase of this psalm, that's what it is. It's a considerable freedom that he has to make the song, which is what songwriters do, right? He said, in these two hymns, that is verses 1 through 3, which we don't know, and now this one, 4 through 9, Joy to the World, he says, I have formed, out of the 98th psalm, I have fully expressed what I esteem to be the first and chief sense of the Holy Scriptures. I've studied the Scriptures, and my song is what I think the song is saying. So, not surprisingly, Watts did never intend this song to be a Christmas carol. It's not a Christmas carol. It's a Christian hymn of worship and praise. And it doesn't look towards the birthday of the king. It looks to the coming of the king. The triumphant return of the king at the end of the days. That's what the focus is. Not that that doesn't include singing it at Christmas, but we should sing it in June. And we will. I will. We will sing it in June. In June or somewhere, we'll sing Joy. And I say, I told you we were going to sing it. It is meant to be a New Testament expression of praise, where it exalts the salvation that began when God became incarnate as the babe of Bethlehem, who was destined to do what? He was destined to remove the curse of Adam's fall. Verse 3 in the song, no more let sins or sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. How far is the curse found? It's found everywhere. As far as the east is from the west, the curse is found there. This is not a reflection, it seems, of Psalm 98 at all. More than likely, Watts was considering Genesis chapter 3, where the curse began in the garden. Genesis 3, the curse. And to Adam he said, verse 17, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground before you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It seems that Watts, for at least verse 3, had the rest of the scripture in mind, right? The curse of Adam. And Christ came to make his blessings flow. Where? Far as the curse is found. This is good news. This is gospel news. This is Christ. And Watts, he knew that. He was a worshiper of God, and he's given us this song. Joy to the World was originally titled The Messiah's Coming and Kingdom. That was its name. It wasn't called Joy to the World. It was used popularly in the church, and then a melody was composed by someone called Lowell Mason in 1836, the melody we have. And that launched this song into the orbit for singing. It just reached a new level of singing, and it became a Christmas song. It was never meant to be. The song omits any references to angels, wise men, stables, mangers, babies. Doesn't mention it. It emphasizes instead the reverent but ecstatic joy that Christ's birth brought to humanity. If you read Luke's account of the birth of Christ, you cannot miss the sense of what? Joy, 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 joy. A joyful day. Everyone sings Joy to the World, right? How many times have you heard it on the radio, on the just everywhere you go, in the shopping malls, at any station, So I did some research. Well-known recordings. I've got 10 artists, thinking that these, some of you will know some of them, some of you won't. 1965, The Supremes recorded the song for their album, Merry Christmas. Andy Williams, 1974, recorded it. These are recordings, not just people who sang it, they recorded it and presented it. This is the best one. Mariah Carey re-recorded this song for her 1994 album, Merry Christmas. Her version, it says, was done in a dance pop style, combined the chorus with slightly altered lyrics of Joy to the World, made popular by Bill, Three Dog Night. He told me that. I told him this, and he said, oh, Three Dog Night did that song. A bit different lyrics, but Mariah Carey took Joy to the World that we sing, a little bit of Three Dog Night song, put it together in a little medley, and just went for it with a big choir background. I actually watched it on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube. It's there. Charlotte Church. You ever know that from Wales? When she was young, she's still young. 2000, she wrote it in her holiday album. 1998, Glen Campbell. A Glen Campbell Christmas. Whitney Houston. And The Preacher's Wife, the movie. Joy to the World. 2002, Patti Loveless and John Randall recorded a duet of the song for Patti's Christmas album. Clay Aiken, American Idol, second in 2003, recorded it on his Merry Christmas with Love. Faith Hill recorded it for her Christmas album, Joy to the World. Natalie Cole recorded it twice. That's just 10. Did you recognize some of those names? They recorded it and they sing it. How many of them knew the Savior? I don't know. But they sang it with gusto and heart. So just consider the scope of its draw on the world. This little song that we're going to sing shortly. In the world outside of the church, you don't have to own the song to sing it, right? Everyone just sings it. James Corden, the karaoke car. Have you ever seen the karaoke car thing with James Corden? What's his name? Have you guys ever seen him? He's in the English guy's in the driving, and he has famous people next to him singing all kinds of songs. Yeah? Yeah, they're good, aren't they? He's the joy to the world. Carrie Underwood, Stevie Wonder, Iggy Azalea, Justin Bieber, right? They're all in the car. He drives people to work, and he puts a CD on, and he sings with all these famous people from all around the world. And you should watch it on YouTube. It's funny. It's worth it. Joy to the world. It's out there. They all just sing it. They don't mean it. They just sing it. So the question is, for us, as we celebrate Christmas and we sing these Christmas songs, we're to sing them new. We sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, and the part of that song is that they are new every morning, new every morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We, amongst all people, we've been given voices. Doesn't matter how good they are, how bad they are, but we've been given voices that make a joyful noise when they come out. Many of you have been given talents and gifts to play instruments. Play them to the Lord, before the Lord, before the King, and sing with everything you've got. It says joy to the world. That's a lot of people. It's for the whole world to have joy. The whole world is supposed to be in joyful response to the King. But the whole world isn't in joy to the world. But what about you? See, what matters is you, right here today. Do you have joy in your heart because of the Christmas story? Are you able to sing this song with joy and understand what it's getting at, so that when Christmas is over and no one wants to sing Joy to the World or O Holy Night or Hark the Herald Angels Sing anymore, you're okay because you just keep singing anyway because you've got a song to sing. Do you have a song to sing in your heart? Can you imagine as a Christian not having a song to sing? I think it's impossible for a believer in Christ, one who has been redeemed, not to have a heart that sings. I'm not talking about a voice that sounds good, but a heart that just sings. God put us, He made us that way. He made us to sing to Him, to express our love for Him. And we all know the power of music and what it does. Joy to the world. The baby born in Bethlehem was born to die in our place. He went to the cross and received the wrath that we deserved for our sin. He died to purchase the joy that the angels announced at His birth. Right? The angels announced joy, but He purchased that by dying on the cross for our sin. We don't have that joy without Him dying. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. The firstborn of all who would follow Him. He appeared to His disciples and showed them how all of the Bible was pointing to Him. The baby born in the manger, the preacher of good news, the Son of God crucified on the cross, the King who conquered the grave, the joy to the world. That's why we sing Joy to the World, because of all those things. Thank you, Derek, for the heater. I thought you were cold. I'm sweating up here. After He left them, ascending into heaven, what did He do? He promised His return. And they all went back to the temple, worshiping and praising God with great joy. The King that died never surrendered to death. He rose and reigns in glory, sending His disciples who believe among the nations to offer everyone never-ending joy. Isn't that the good type of joy you want? Anyone want never-ending joy? Well, we have it in Christ. Not as the world gives, but as the joy that Christ alone can give. And we have that never-ending joy now, in His presence, and forever in that glorified state. He rules the world with truth. He rules the world with grace. He makes the nations proof. There's no denying it. The glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. And the wonders of His love. Oh, the wonders. Wonders of His love. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found. And the curse is found right in your heart. The curse is in us. But when Christ makes us alive in Him, when He redeems us, when He grants us the gift of repentance, confession of sin, and faith in Him, the curse is removed. It's good news, isn't it? It's good news. And it's removed as far as it can be found. The effects of the curse in the garden are far and wide. But His blessings flow to all who have the humility to come to the cradle and kneel there and worship the baby Jesus and follow Him all the way through the scriptures to an old rugged cross and kneel at the cross too and understand what has happened here. God has done what a marvelous thing. And it calls for a new song. over and over and over again, a new song where we bring everything. We make a joyful noise to him. We use our voices. We use every instrument we can possibly play. And we do it to the Lord. We do it before the Lord for his glory and our highest good. Is there any reason in your heart where you cannot join in the invitation to sing today? The sea are asked to do it. The hills, the rocks, the plains. Inanimate things are giving glory to God. We're created in the image of God. We are image bearers. We can see and understand. And we're invited to give him all the praise to his name for the marvelous things he has done. Not just for the first advent, as marvelous and unfathomable as that was, but also for the one that is yet to come, when he removes the curse, when he does his full work of restoration, renewed creation, new heavens, new earth, new age of eternity for those who believe. Is there any reason why you can't stand this morning on this December 18th and sing joy to the world? That's what I'm going to ask you to do. John Wesley, another great writer, hymnist, his challenge to his people in his day was, sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or asleep. But lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sang the songs of Satan. Wow, John. Wow. Don't be ashamed. Be of good courage. Lift up your voice. Don't be bored. Don't be half asleep. When you're following the prince of the power of the air and you sang all the songs, you sang those with everything you had. You didn't care. But now as a Christian, you don't want anyone to hear your voice because you don't want anyone to know, or you don't sound good. Who cares? You're singing it to the Lord, before the Lord, your King. He's come once and he's removed the curse. He's coming again. And we will worship who is returning, bringing his kingdom. Our God alone. Our God alone. The response, we will worship, not then only, but now. So, let's give him all the praise that he deserves. Amen? Are you ready to sing joy to the world? Let's sing joy to the world. Worship team, come up. We're going to close. Lord, help us to sing to you in a manner that is worthy. Let's stand and seriously give it your all as if you've never sung it before. Consider the psalm from which it is based and enjoy. I'm going to stand up here and sing it for you. No holding back. If you know the King, you can raise your hands.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare his word. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. And let their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. No more the sin and sorrows grow. nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. Joy to the world. Next week we may look at O Holy Night. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the amazing joy that you have offered to all the world. It is an unspeakable joy. It is an undeserved joy. It is unmerited on our part. But because of your grace and your love, your compassion and your mercy and your kindness, you have made your joy available to us in Christ. Thank you. Thank you for removing the curse as far as it is found. Thank you that God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, became man, took on flesh and dwelt among us and lived the life he lived and died the death he died to pay the debt that we could never pay. Thank you that you rose from the dead as proof that the debt had been paid, as proof that you really were God the Son. Thank you that you ascended into heaven. Thank you that you sent the Spirit of God on Pentecost. Thank you that you rule and reign today in our hearts and in our lives. And help us to be a people that exude the joy of Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for allowing the things of this earth to crowd out the joy that you have given us in you. Help us, Lord, this Christmas time to reflect and to consider the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. May we sing a new song today, but may, more than anything, Lord, that our life becomes a life song to you. We pray with thanksgiving and great joy all these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.